Well, hello to everyone. It's Sunday, February the 11th, 2018. Update on Larry. We have great news. He has pretty much abandoned his walking cane. The walker's gone. The cane is pretty much gone. Walking most of the time on his own. Larry has had a brace on his right leg that goes from his calf down around his heel to support his foot when he walks so that he could lift it up. And he is not even wearing that all the time. So this was an especially great week at some of his therapy sessions, a lot of strengthening that will take him to his next level. His posture also, since the stroke, was kind of stooped from the waist up, and now he's definitely able to stand more upright when he walks. The right arm remains a little bit of an issue as he does not favor its use. But of course, Larry is left-handed anyway, so it kind of is perplexing for his therapist because he never really used his right hand a whole lot. But of course, since it is the weaker extremity at this point, they're trying to get him to use it more. He is also experiencing some, at times, severe pain in his right shoulder. And we don't know really what has caused it. It could have been from some of the falls that he took before he went to the hospital. Could be a pinched nerve. But this week, the occupational therapist got involved and kind of set a plan for us so we can figure out what it is exactly. And we'll get started on that plan sometime tomorrow. Your prayers are needful. And truly, we thank you for every single one of them. Bless your hearts. Well, today we're going to wrap up the series on a biblical path for godly change. And you know, I think, who does not want to be successful? And I'm not speaking about professional or even academic successes, but rather in your personal relationship with God and with yourself. The triumph within yourself as an individual, that you are at peace, mentally healthy, emotionally well-balanced, confident, and calm in who you are. You could kind of think of it as being comfortable in your own skin. Then, branching out in the relationships, how about success in other relationship categories? Our meaningful interactions with others, with whom we share our lives in one way or other. Starting with those in our homes, roommates, spouses, children, parents, siblings. Is there friction where we desire harmony? Bitterness where we are starving for sweetness of disposition? Blame rather than compassion and understanding? Condemnation and retribution instead of tenderness and forgiveness, verbal, emotional, or physical abuse, addictions as opposed to love, strength, and encouragement, friction, bitterness, blame, unforgiveness, even abuse are just a few. In relationships, I think the most disappointing failures happen in the home, causing heartaches that provoke us to conduct ourselves in even more destructive ways. How about interactions outside the home and friendships, education with faculty, students, classmates, or on the job where we have bosses, mentors, employees, fellow workers, or even in recreation where you would have coaches and teammates and officials? Most everyone wants to be successful in life. We have to think that. When we habitually experience failure in an area of life, it is typically the straw that breaks the camel's back that finally compels us to take some kind of an action. It could be a knee-jerk reaction that takes the problem to an all-time new explosion. Hopefully, we would take time to ponder the problem and seek a goal. We might think through options. We might check out information we think would be relevant. We might talk to someone we trust. Guilt, fear, both helplessness and hopelessness, or anger our common emotions we might have to conquer. On the other hand, speaking of desires to change, it is important to mention the consistent trait of flourishing people. People who already flourish, that don't really have any obvious problems, but they want to continuously build upon the good they already enjoy. These are the ones who inventory themselves and fortify their behaviors. They are the ones who don't necessarily wait until the relationship is broken and falling apart. They keep themselves in check against their chosen standard. They decisively and purposely move from strength to strength. But regardless of the problem or just the ongoing challenge to be better, whether one has to overcome severe obstacles or incrementally move stage to stage, many have become authors who lay out their methods of achievement for you to emulate. And their processes usually promise big. We read these books hoping to mimic their success stories. Like, what do these successful people do? What do they think? What are their personalities like? What diets and exercises work for them? What books do they read? Where did they get their education? What are their favorite things, their likes, their dislikes? And then we read these books and we become fueled by their high expectations. We might put it all together in our head, get a game plan, get psyched for a launch date, and then we're up and running. Because we think in some way by thinking, saying, and doing what these successful people think, say, and do, we could expect the same result or the same end. Well, there is definitely a congratulations to people who realize there is a problem and then gather the courage to face them. Because sometimes we can have a problem and desire to hide and just bury it. We don't, you know, maybe we've tried coming at it several ways and nothing has worked, so we just sort of give up on it. But congratulations to those who gather the courage to time after time face them in search of deliverance and healing and answers. Saint or sinner, born again or not, people can undergo behavioral modification. Even Christians can be drawn into behavioral modification. It happens often in trying to improve relationships, and it does mimic genuine godly change. What is behavioral modification? Well, I'm going to read to you a definition. Behavior modification is a treatment approach which is focused on changing behavior or exchanging behavioral traits. It's an exchange. It is based on the work of a well-known psychologist who developed a conditioning theory, which suggests that behavior can be modified by consequences or through reinforcement. The major goal of behavior modification is to replace undesirable behaviors with acceptable ones. We really want to beware of books that lead us to modify our behavior, to achieve a desired result or a desired goal. Will behavioral modification bring about a change? Sure. It will exchange the behavior you don't want for one you do want. So I'm not trying to give you a play on words or set up a matter of semantics. The point of warning here is to discern between modifying your behavior versus the transformation from within you that overflows in all its marvel and brilliance. Remember Proverbs 4:23, from the heart come all the issues of life. From the heart is the outflow of what you're going to receive in life. That kind of transformation has very little to do with behavioral modification. Transformation will change your behavior. That is true. That is the truth. So don't get sucked up into all of that. You do this for so many days, and this is going to happen, and that's going to be good. There are so many ways, methods, ploys to get what you might think is your desired result. But remember, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. We can miss the gate that leads us because the way in at the gate is littered with all kinds of junk that promises a quick fix. There's books out there everywhere that promise change in your life in anywhere from this Friday to 21 days. You wouldn't believe it. I've looked them up on the internet. They sound so darn good. You know, even a lot of them are written by Christians. And we do not want to elicit change in ourselves or others by way of conditions. Some of the books even offer you to customize your own checklist of actionable items that you will do each day to create the right allure for change, whether in yourself or in someone else. It just gets your emotions all wound up. It romanticizes all of these things. And I'm not just speaking of romantic relationships. I'm speaking of raising your children, of getting along with coworkers, no matter what that relationship is. It does provide the right allure to get you to think that you're moving in a forward direction. Are there tips or keys in these books? Of course, there are. Certainly so. But my point is to be careful as to exactly what and why you are practicing their methods. Are they truly honest? Or are they enticements to get your way, even with yourself? I'm not saying you are wrong to read books with ideas on various ways to help relationship issues, but I do say beware of what you are actually doing to get the change that you want. Is the path for godly change biblical? There is a biblical path for transformation that brings tangibles and intangibles to your life, which money couldn't possibly buy. Nothing you could prepare on a checklist, no plan you could implement that would bring about the godly solution, the thorough healing, or the restoration of the souls involved. I hope you can see this. I have thought about this so much this week on how to contrast the counterfeit from the truth. So many things sound so good, but it is really the transformation that happens from within a person's heart and life that brings about this godly change that is biblical. If you don't get it, please email me, and I would hope to be able to clarify further for you about these things. I think about a verse that all of us have known for a very long time, Jeremiah 2:13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." The rest of that chapter is great to read. I would definitely encourage that. It's very confronting on the abandonment of looking to God, who has authored the perfect book on relationships. Think about it. What relationship in life is not covered in the Bible? Every single one I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching is covered in the Bible. Maybe using different terms, Maybe it doesn't mention coaches or teammates or, you know, but it's the relationship that you have with other people. The Word of God is the relationship authority. The Word of God is a fountain of living water for us. The Spirit of God in us is a fountain of living water that is within us. So, you know, we definitely, if we're looking to man's wisdom, even though he might be a Christian, we can always interject our own twists and turns about life. But God is the authority. And additionally, the Bible gives us instructions on dealing with those who don't want a relationship with us. It gives us instructions on dealing with those who hate us. How to deal with our enemies. So there is really no level of relationship that it does not address. There are many, many biblical truths which govern relationship. If known and developed, they will assuredly bring about godly change, not only a change in this life, but the crown of life for all eternity. In James 1, and that is also a great chapter, I would recommend reading in full. That kind of fits nicely with this series. But in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And that word endureth is really a word that describes the bravery and the calmness with which we endure a situation. It shows the enduring faith and trust that we have that we can persevere in a temptation. And I do want to note right up front, verse 13 tells us that those invitations to sin do not come from God because he does not tempt anyone. And then the word temptation is one that is a word that refers to a temptation arising from within one's own self or from outward circumstances. Goes on to say, for when he is tried. And that word is referring to the proving of authenticity of like gold or silver coins. So we aren't tried to see how strong or weak we are. The trying is to see how pure and how genuine we are. And for your bravery and your courage to withstand the temptation to sin, you will receive the crown of life, which goes through all of eternity. And the phrase that love him, this agape love, it's one we extend to God, who is our Father. And it extends to Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. And it carries the understanding of an affectionate reverence, a prompt obedience, and grateful recognition for the benefits we receive. Well, it doesn't take a lot of time or a long time to think about the benefits, starting with the ones that our Lord Jesus Christ made available to us. And certainly the love of our Father to plan before we were even born the life that we could have and the eternal life that we would have. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You know, what a wonderful canopy over all that we do, to know that not only do we gain in this life, but we earn things for the future. Now, corruptible crowns are cool. There is nothing wrong with a corruptible crown. someone develops their intellect, or they just develop their physical prowess to an excelling level. They compete with other people in their areas. They win awards. There's nothing at all wrong with that. We love that. But the focus here is we are talking about godly change in a person's life, that issues from the depth of our mental hearts, where we have hidden the word of God that we might not sin against him. That is the origin of our success. And in addition to those resources God has provided, we have the dynamic gift of the Holy Spirit that he created in each and every person who believes unto salvation. Created. God custom tailored his gift in you, for you. Your gift of Holy Spirit is not my gift of Holy Spirit. Same giver, but he created yours in you, and he created mine in me. We can be certain God has significant reason for that. I do believe that God created his gift within me, unique to me, so that I can do and have and be all that he called me to be. And then here's another part. Whether or not I respond, whether or not I ever respond, that gift created in me is there for my using at whatever time I decide to begin using it. Romans 5:5 states, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." That simply means hope does not disappoint. Hope is for something future, whether the immediate future or the eternal future. The love of God just never fails. The Holy Spirit reveals to our soul how great God's love is for us. It can't just be book learning or memorizing scriptures or a checklist. It is the Holy Spirit teaching us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That word shed abroad means it's just poured out. It's poured out. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by way of the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And if it is poured out to us, we talked last week about the Holy Spirit just being poured all over us. Don't you think someone else will recognize this love? Don't you think they will see it as something very different? With the love of God pouring out upon us, we will love ourselves. As we realize just how much God loves us, we will find the confidence and the reason and the understanding that we should love ourselves. And we'll be able to love our neighbors at large, even our enemies. We can agape love all of those with whom we have relationships. God is faithful, and his love delivers big time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is an excellent chapter on the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's a great one to work. And I would like to challenge you to work that chapter. And definitely share things that you see from it. But as we close out this series, I encourage you to fill your heart with his ministering, victorious words. If you're reading along and you see something that makes you feel guilty or makes you feel unworthy, you're not understanding the scriptures, because they are there for our profit. They are there that we can know that our ship is ready to sail. So heed God's warnings about the enemy. Feed the threefold being. Expect and allow God's Spirit within you to direct your path. He will give you the desires of your heart. We want to live far above the wisdom of men. We want to expect more than we could possibly ask or think. And no matter what godly change you desire, no matter what relationship needs healing or revitalization, He will fix it for you. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. All you need to do is keep busy growing and exercising His love that is within you. The Holy Spirit will work within you that which is perfect for you. Be healed and be blessed. And I want to close by reading to you 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. God bless you.